For neste innleder første kvinnelig generalsekretær I International Trade Union Confederation. Og hun har også bakgrunn fra australsk LO, hvor hun har vært en aktiv kvinneaktivist. Vi spesielt glad for å kunne ønske velkommen neste innleder og si at hun også har bidratt sterkt til å gi klimapolitikken en langt større tyngde innen den internasjonale fagbevegelsen. And as we all know, there are no jobs on a dead planet. Please welcome Sharon Barrow, the General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation. Thank you.
Thank you, union men and women, and our allies in civil society. I'm delighted to be here in Norway in 2015. This is the year. However, let me transport you to 2100. Let's think about what we can achieve. Climate at the turn of the 22nd century has stabilized around an average increase of 2 degrees. While this has quite dramatically changed the pattern of life and livelihoods for many, with changing seasons and loss of low-lying lands, it has offered opportunities for others. The overwhelming number of people now live in megacities, where mobility depends on mass transit that are powered by clean energy. Our houses are smaller and connected through the Internet of Things to smart grids that predict matters, that predict patterns of energy use and reduce consumption of wasted energy. Our houses are smaller and, our commons, parks and green verges are reforested and make for easier breathing, less respiratory disease and longer lifespans. And our workplaces are also green waste centres where what can be reused is done so without question, integrated into production and our daily lives. Technology is shared as a common good. The key to sustainability was established in 2015 when the world's governments took a decision to act in concert to stop climate change. It took courage and conviction, but by 2050 the world had achieved massive decarbonisation. Coal is no longer burnt for energy and the majority of fossil fuel reserves will never be used. But the workers in these jobs who built the prosperity of that era were honoured and looked after, and their sons and daughters and families have sustainable and secure jobs. Renewable energy, reforestation and closing the loop on production and waste have made it possible to see a future that survives within planetary boundaries. Many of the industries of today are the industries of 2015, but unions fought for, with their allies, and won the protection to ensure a just transition. Consequently, our children and grandchildren can look forward to jobs on a sustainable planet. Now, I can write the alternate scenario. We are already witnessing the onset of the trends, the loss of life, the loss of viable agricultural land, and the loss of livelihoods and jobs in drought, fire, flood, and cyclone-damaged communities. But we have taken a simple view. As unions, we know there will be no jobs on a dead planet. So climate action is a trade union issue. We have a vital role to play to protect jobs in existing workplaces and industries by demanding and bargaining for industrial transformation, to organise new jobs, quality jobs in the emerging green economy, and to fight for the just transition measures that ensure we leave nobody behind. This means work for our pension funds too, because it means investing for the long term. The science is in. I can hardly follow my scientific colleague who was here, but I want to make it clear that the unions know the science is unequivocal. Without urgent and ambitious action, we will face a temperature rise of 4 degrees or more this century and irreversible changes in our climate. Economists have spoken as well. The financial damage caused by global warming will cost the world far more than any crisis experienced to date. The world's people want their governments to deal with the pollution that is causing climate change. Our 2014 global poll, people all around the world, 73% of them, want governments to do more to limit pollution causing climate change. That's a vote winner. 2015 is the year governments can choose a pathway for a zero carbon future. We have a fighting chance to limit the temperature rise to 2 degrees. We are almost out of time. The scientists would tell you we are out of time. But we have time just if we act now. Climate catastrophes are increasing and hurting our people all around the world already. But within 15 years, we'll face even more consequences with broad spectrum impact. This will destroy more communities and it will destroy more jobs. The disruption will be socially and economically destabilizing beyond everything we have witnessed to date. This isn't our children or grandchildren's lifespan, 15 years. This is our lifespan. We have policy. The ITUC wants the world's governments to agree on climate action and give us a fighting chance to limit the temperature rise. Science tells us we need to urgently stabilise carbon emissions at 44 gigatons. Business, as usual, gets us to 59 gigatons by 2020. It doesn't add up. Any of us can do the math. And so all our economic sectors must change. And for unions, we must demand a seat at the design table. We must demand the dialogue and the collective agreements that actually will shape the industrial transformation needed. We know that the industrial sectors of today will be with us tomorrow. Energy, construction, transport, manufacturing, agriculture, services, there's a long list. But the technological shift will be even more disruptive without a plan and without decent work, with the rights for workers absolutely at risk in the scramble if we aren't involved. Workers have a right to know. They have a right to know what their government plans, but they have a right to know how their employers will plan to decarbonise. The challenge of industrial transformation is both an imperative and an opportunity for us, as I said, to demand dialogue, to organise, to bargain for, and to actually lead the changes to work, the skills acquisitions that will be required. It's also an opportunity to ensure that our pension funds work for sustainability on our terms. We know there are jobs in the transition, millions of jobs. The infrastructure alone is projected to be $50 trillion by 2030, $90 trillion by 2050. Yet I can tell you in our pension funds right now, there's less than 1% of portfolio invested in infrastructure. We have to change this and make sure it's built to green standards. The G20 has already committed to 1% of GDP in extra investment. This must be enabling and it must be built, as I said, to green standards. But there are jobs in other sectors. In 2010, not the best time, the height of the financial crisis, but the ITUC did its own study. And we showed in traditional sectors, the strongest sectors in each of the 12 countries we actually studied, that if you invested 2% a year of GDP for 5 years in existing industries to green them, this would generate 48 million new jobs in just 12 countries. What could we do in 50 or 100? The ILO has found similar policies facilitating climate transition as an employment generator. Combining economic growth with environmental improvement, we can see net gains of up to 60 million jobs in the next 2 decades. Energy is critical. So I said to the electricians' conference yesterday, energy workers are at the heart of the transformation. Those of you amongst us, you're at the centre of the absolute imperative for this transition. Yet Germany is the only nation I know with a nationwide energy plan. And it's created already more than 300,000 jobs, new jobs in renewable energy in just a couple of years. And of course, there are then related manufacturing and services to go with it. And I have indeed seen Germany's multi-billion dollar technology at work in manufacturing solar panels in China, creating jobs for both nations. All sectors must share technology and must plan for the future. Unions demand a just transition, however. Industrial transformation must be supported by the just transition measures that mean we leave nobody behind. We have played a serious role in the UN negotiations and fought and won commitments on this basis, but believe it or not, it's still vulnerable. Even friendly governments like Brazil say we don't have an international commitment to just transition. Well, we will see that they do. We actually know that these commitments must be in the Paris Agreement in December 2015. So you need to be vigilant, not just around pledges, but around the measures that will support our communities through the transition. We will fight for adequate funding of a just transition, as well as for the poorest and most vulnerable of nations to be able to cope with the impacts of climate change. 2015 is indeed a year for trade union action to work on three tracks to secure jobs and our planet. We want a strong global agreement in Paris and we'll mobilise towards that. We actually want to see an agreement that paves the way for jobs and the investment boom that's necessary to prevent climate catastrophe in our communities. We want to see country contributions and commitments from which we can negotiate even more ambition. And we want to see climate action in workplaces and industries with workers and unions in dialogue, consultation and collective bargaining. Our first climate briefing for 2015, called, not surprisingly, There Are No Jobs on a Dead Planet, is already out. Look for it on our site. We want your stories of climate impact, your workplace stories and your dreams for communities for the next briefing. Send them in. There are key points in this year. We will see the pledges of our governments by the end of the month. Where they are inadequate, we must campaign. By the end of May, we will see the draft global agreement and we will hold a global week of lobbying to make sure all our politicians commit to it. We want to see teams of union members all over the world visible in their parliaments and in the community offices of their elected officials. We want to see reported results. And in September, we will hold our own Union Climate Summit in Paris, a summit to mobilise but also to showcase union success in the industrial challenge to decarbonise our workplaces and our industries. We have a shared future. There are millions of jobs worldwide if we get it right. But it will also take a serious investment shift. The role of institutional investors, including workers' pension funds, in helping transition to a low-carbon economy and mitigating the impact of climate change has become a central policy concern for us. On the occasion of the UN Climate Summit in New York in September 2014, there was, in fact, a coalition on an investor statement setting out a number of policy priorities for investment in climate change-related projects, but challenging the scale. Indeed, we need to change the scale. According to the International Energy Agency, limiting the increase in global temperature to 2 degrees, that will require additional investments in clean energy of some $1 trillion annually between now and 2050. So the incentives for investors to push for a green finance agenda are straightforward. It's about money and return on investment. It's about risk. And when you know the unbelievable reality, the unacceptable reality, that in fact our pension funds invest less than 2%, 1.6% actually, of portfolio in the green economy, then we have real work to do. Even on a risk scale, to have all of our money invested in a brown economy with increasing climate catastrophes is just crazy. But if we want to make the transition, then we have to move the agenda. In general terms, there are three ways for institutional investors to support a zero net carbon economy. Be transparent. Again, we have a right to know. We have a right to know where our retirement savings are invested. Report, demand that our funds report on the carbon footprint that the investments cover. Demand that our industries report on their carbon footprint. And increase exposure to clean energy and energy efficient assets. We support long-term investment policy and direct engagement. This will secure the best chance of sustainability of jobs and business. We support a worker's right to know of corporate plans, and we indeed see divestment as an option to be carefully weighed up against, only to be carefully weighed up against leverage for change. We propose engagement first. Engagement for change. If we simply withdraw from those stocks that look dirty today without demanding the change as a first step, then we risk both jobs and the transition. Now, that doesn't mean that in the event of companies refusing to change that you wouldn't consider divestment. But we say, with our money, workers' capital, demand engagement first. We know that that's critical to secure the industrial transformation that is so vital. While much more could be done by institutional investors and the financial industry themselves in engaging in a proactive agenda, there are some external constraints, and we need government action. We need governments to secure green economy products. The investment in green bonds is around $50 billion at the moment, and that's a drop in the ocean compared to what we need. But the actual definition and regulation of green bonds is inadequate, and governments need to step in. We need to see serious attention to carbon pricing. You've at least got the basis of a carbon price that's sustainable. But many, many nations aren't even at that point. Carbon pricing is indeed inevitable globally. Public debate on new intellectual property is something we have to actually get involved in. It's a little bit like the generic medicine debate. If we actually don't find a way to fund intellectual property that allows universal access to existing and new technologies, then it will become the generic medicine fight of the future, because we'll simply be condemning ourselves, along with the rest of the world, to the planetary disasters. Nobody is isolated in this campaign. Other regulatory and or policy obstacles, of which there are many, including the slow progress to regulate the excesses of speculative behaviour that caused the financial crisis, this is the aftermath we're still living with. But governments can act. Businesses can act. We can act. These are just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the arguments regarding the action required by all of us, ourselves, our governments, our employers, and indeed our pension funds. Tragically, too many otherwise smart nations, including my own, have their heads buried in those melting ice caps. Colleagues, we need a new business model. For the workers in abusive supply chains, for the capital that invests in your companies and that are increasingly rending jobs more insecure, or refusing to bargain for a fair share and for climate. We need a new business model because rights matter, workers matter, and climate matters. There's no doubt that climate justice is union business. There are no jobs on a dead planet. Thank you. Solidarity.